Welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I are very, very, very excited tonight. And at the same time, it's a bittersweet show because this is our last show of the season. And in thinking back, I believe this is our 23rd show tonight. We started on June 6th. So in thinking about that today and just kind of looking back, I thought, wow, I cannot believe we are on number 23 and preparing to end this season a bit sooner than we would like to, but there's so many things that we're working on, so many things that we need to work on more productively in order to come back next season, next year, with new topics, new ideas, new things scheduled. And we cannot say enough about the support that we've gotten from you all, because our numbers are growing, as we've said, for the last 3 to 4 shows. We've seen the numbers just tremendously increase, and we know that's because not only are we reaching you all, that you're telling people about the show. So we cannot thank you enough for a very wonderful season, a productive season. So keep telling people. Take this time to go about your way and utilize your Mondays and maybe reading some books. We're going to share some things with you tonight before ending the show, but we do want you to take the time to reflect on the shows that we have discussed. And we say we because you all have helped us to bring these shows together in such a way that we could not have done so on our own. So thank you again. And again, we're going to share some things with you this evening before getting off of the show of what you can do in this time period that we're not on the air. And again, that's going to be like reading some things. We've talked about many books that we have just found to help us in our situations and through our things that we've been going through as well. As Tika and I have said, this show is not about us. We could not do it without God first. And so, you know, in ending tonight or this season, we want to just really give thanks to God, because without him, we could not have did this show. God planted this seed in us, and it takes a lot of work to bring these shows together, as we have discussed. So, again, don't want to ponder on too much on thanking you, but, again, we cannot say it enough. Please do continue to share it, and we look forward to seeing you back next season, and we'll talk more about that before ending the show. What we're going to do, just a few housekeeping things as we always do, because we may have new listeners out there. If you are listening by phone, select the number 1 at any time during the show. You do not have to wait, or you do not have to do it right now. You don't have to do it at the beginning of the show. At any time you decide, okay, I do have a comment or I do have a question, select the number 1. That tells us that you're out there, you're in queue, and you have a question or a comment about tonight's topic or anything you have a question about. Or if you're a first-time caller and you just want to say hi, we'd love to hear from you. We hate that you're coming in on the very last show of the season, but again, we'd love to hear that you're out there listening and how you heard about us. If you're listening online, remember, well, let me do that. Let me open up the chat line. And if you are listening online, you can, and you do have to be registered as a follower of the show. If you're not and you're listening online, you can do that real simple, real quick process. You can actually do that right now. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the chat line. So for those of you who are listening, you can always submit your question or comment online, and Tika and I will be able to see that. We'll be able to ask your question. We'll be able to post your comment. And remember, if you're wanting to comment on the phone and you don't want to share who you are, you don't have to. So if you have a question or a comment, feel free to do so. And you don't have to tell us who you are. You're free to say, I'm an anonymous caller, but this is what I have to say. Tonight's topics are, because we're doing the Butterfly Rewind, because, again, the last show for the season. And what we did, Tika and I selected our top three shows. We were a bit surprised by, well, I think I was. I'll let Tika speak for herself, but I think I was a bit surprised in seeing our number two show, which is the show that we did about divorce. But it was our number two show for the season. The number one show was CEO to the Power of You, and that's the show, if you all remember, we had Erica Murray online with us as our guest speaker. She wrote the book, or she was in the process at that time of getting ready to release her book, CEO to the Power of You. That was our top show, and it is still growing. So many people tuned in to the archive show, so we can't say enough about that show. We want to put a lot of emphasis on that show tonight, particularly with the year ending. People are preparing to make their New Year resolutions, as we do every year. But we want to be at the end of next year, we want to say that we have truly changed. Doesn't mean your pocket, your money situation. You know, we put so much emphasis on what people have, you know, the type of car they drive, what, how they dress. Who are you? That's what we are wanting you to think about for the next season or the next year going into that. What can I do to change me? Because once you do that, everything. You very rarely will hear me say something definite, but I assure you, if you change you, if you decide, I'm going to find out who I am, I'm the good, the bad, and the ugly. I'm going to deal with that, and I'm going to go forward. So keep that in mind as we go through this show and prepare to end the show and start a new season. The third show is on fear. And Tika and I wanted to also add some other things to this night's topic. And for me, it's People of the Lie. And that was, I know some of you may remember that. It wasn't a specific topic, but it was one that Tika and I put a lot of emphasis on during one of the shows. And then Tika, you can go ahead. I mean, yours was ego and forgiveness, I believe. Is that correct?
Ego, forgiveness, and why am I drawing a blank? Ego, forgiveness.
Well, we'll get to it. But those are kind of things.
I'm sorry, Terry. Ego, forgiveness, and fear. It all ties in together.
Fear was the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to bring those things into it. So again, if you're out there and you have a comment or a question, or if you just want to say what this season has meant to you, what things, and it doesn't have to be about a topic that we've selected. It doesn't have to be about one of the three highest shows. It does not have to be the one of the ones that Tika and I wanted to talk about. It could be about any show. What have you taken from this? How listening to the topics and you listening to the show, how has it changed your life? Or what can we do next season? What can we do better? So we'd like to hear all of that from you. We're going to move forward. Again, the top one was the CEO to the Power of You. And that was the show, again, that Miss Erica Murray did. And if you all have not had a chance to get her book, if you did not hear her show, the show that we did for her, remember all of the shows are archived. So you can listen at any time. If you wake up during the middle of the night and want to log on, they're out there. So you can listen. But I listened to the show again today, and I have many times, but every time I listen to that show, I am motivated to change myself, first to determine what things do I need to change, because I think that should be something we should think about daily. What's not working? You know, instead of going through the motion and getting caught up with just things being okay, you know, this is how it is, this is how it's going to be, there's nothing I can do about it. We get up, we go to work every day, we do these things, but focus on yourself. So what we're going to do is bring some things that we were able to take from those shows, and again, beginning with Erica's show, one of the main things that I remember from Erica's show is, and she talked about, you know, traveling. Erica is a very successful lady, and she travels a lot. She's all over the world. She has several businesses going, and what she talks about is how people look at her. Well, let's go back. She talked about how she looks at people, particularly those people that are in her life, in her circle. And those people, she looked at how they think. How do the people around you, what do they think? How do they think? What do they think about? What do they talk about? That is very, very important. And for me, I know that it was when I heard that for the first time, and I'm not real sure if it's the first time, but that was the first time that I thought, wow, I've not really did that. You know, I will allow people in my life, and sometimes, you know, you remove people from your life for different reasons, not really even thinking about the effect, even letting people in and removing them from your life. You don't really think about the effect that the person has on you when they're in your life and when they leave your life. So Erica talked about looking at people, how they think, again, and what they talk about, particularly, again, those people that are in your circle. And the reason is because those people that you allow in your circle, the things that they think about, talk about, that becomes your world, so to speak. She mentioned, I believe, and Tika, you may have to help me on this one, that, you know, people come into your life, they either adapt to your world or you somehow find yourself adapting to their world.
Their world. Mm-hmm.
So, really, again, that's why this is very important because, you know, sometimes we're not strong enough or we don't realize we are in to remove those people from our lives or to realize that, hey, this person is not for me. Not necessarily you have to remove them for your life, but you have to be able to determine what's best for you. And I think so many times we take the back seat to our own life rather than stepping up and saying, no, this does not work for me. This is not working for me. This relationship is not working for me. And people are, we talk about naysayers. You know, people will blind your dream. They will cut you short of your dream rather than motivating you saying, you know, let's do this. We talked, I think, last week about the author, and I can't remember the book that I was reading, but this author talked about how she shared this with a friend. She was sharing that she wanted to write the book and so forth. And this friend in the middle of, you know, them being out of town said, okay, you know, they go down to the lobby and she said, start writing. She was one of those few people who will encourage you to do things like that. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, how are you going to write a book? You don't have time to write a book. And who's going to publish it? And who's going to do this? Just start it. You know, there are so many people that have written books. So someone is publishing. Someone is writing. So why can't that be you? We talked about there's how many churches, you know, and I heard the story about KFC. I heard that he was told, how are you going to open up a restaurant and you only sell chicken? Well, how many chicken places do we have now? They're successful. They're on every corner. But had he allowed someone to say, you can't just sell chicken all day. So Erica made us look at life differently. She wanted us to see that we need to become CEO to ourselves. You know, she spoke about, Tika, help me on this one too. You know, we get up, we go to work. We're told as a child how to think. We go to school. Our teachers teach us how to think. We go to college. Hopefully they teach us how to think. We go to work, and then we have this manual of how we are to do life there. We get up, we go to work, 8 o'clock.
Yes, it says that we're told how to think.
Right.
We don't have to use our own thinking process. We are told how to think.
Right.
From all of these stages in our lives.
Right. And so we have to learn, you know, or discipline yourself. I think we know how to, but you have to discipline yourself on how to think and how to think in a way that's best for you. And thinking in a sense of thinking of your life as CEO to the power of you, it totally changes your life. And again, this lady, her name is Erica Murray, and the book was released, I believe, August 8th, I believe. And it's, again, the CEO to the power of you. Tika, you got anything you want to say about Eric? I have lots more.
No, because that kind of did some things on some of the other chapters. So
okay.
You can go ahead with
okay.
that one.
So, again, she talks about, you know, discipline yourself in the way that you think about your life and becoming CEO to the power of you. And I like the way she put it in her summary. She says, she talks about your life being a cohesive whole or a collection of compartments. And I remember being confused by that piece of it and asked her to explain in more detail. And again, that's cohesive whole or a collective of compartments. And the way she explained that, you know, we are this way for church. We are this way at work. We are this way at school. We are this way at home. And we begin to be all of these different people till we kind of lose who we really are. And in doing that, she recommends that we should not be a collection of compartments. We should be cohesive whole people, meaning you should know who you are, and that's who you are. Now, we're not saying you go to church with, you know, doing things or somewhere else. You have to have a business aspect about you, and there's a time and place for everything. But we're talking about when you are totally two different people to the extreme, where you don't know who you are. You almost have to practice sometimes to fit in and remind yourself where you are. That's what I think she means about being a collection of compartments. You just have to kind of be that person that you have set yourself up to be, so to speak, rather than really finding out who you are and how did I get here sometimes? And then, more importantly, how do I move from this place? How do I move forward? I think she has a saying, progressive upward motion. What was it, Tika? Upward progression, moving forward, basically, is what she's saying. We should always be moving forward, even with the people that are in our lives. You know, we have to be careful of negative people, naysayers. We have to always be mindful of our surroundings. I'm reminded Will Smith saying, when he realizes that he is the smartest person in the group, he finds a new group. Doesn't mean he leaves that group behind, but he finds a new group for a number of reasons. Leaving that group allows the group, someone else, to become leader. It allows someone else to have some followers so that he or she can move as well. You going to the next group allows you now to be taught. And she mentioned about you have some different qualities. You have to be teachable and things like that. So that's another thing, another good thing to take with you as you leave, you know, the 2011 year. Mm-hmm. That saying she had was forward progression and upward mobility. And she says if the things in her life are not producing forward progression and upward mobility, they're not for her. And if the people are not helping her possess forward progression or upward mobility, those are people that are not, you know, per se in her immediate circle. So, again, be mindful of that, okay? Be mindful. Tika, if you'll go ahead, and then I want to come back on some things about Erica, but if you'll go ahead and talk about the things that you have. And about divorce, you guys, Tika and I really didn't have a lot to say on divorce. Well, I really didn't. I'd like to focus more on the marriage part of it because I think if we start to understand what marriage is and is not, because I think we have a false perception of what marriage is. So I'd like to kind of talk more about marriage. But if you all have some things on divorce, if you have some questions or comments from the show that we did on divorce, feel free to jump in at any time. Again, you can select the number one for that. But Tika, move forward, and that way we'll start on everything, and maybe that'll generate some questions or comments, and we can always come back to the different topics.
Okay. I sure will, Tammy. Thank you. I did emphasis from we had a show back, our third show. It was called The Cause and Effect of Emotions and the Ego. And so I decided to bring in some emphasis on the ego and how it leads to fear and how fear is developed through our egos, and then to tie it off with completing it in forgiveness. So where I want to start is that everyone identifies himself with this thought system, and every thought system centers on what you believe you are. If the center of your thought system is true, only truth extends from it, But if it's a lie, if a lie is at the center or core of this thought system, then deception proceeds from this. So in this way, what I'm trying to say is that what you see in this world mirrors what's within, and it also influences all of your emotions. So the way that you see this world, it mirrors what's inside of your world. I wanted to really bring emphasis on the fact that we're created in God's image. When we are created in God's image. Genesis 1:1-31 says that it took God, you know, the time that it took him to create the earth. He is a creator. God is our creator. And Genesis 1:1-31, it tells how God spoke, what he spoke into existence, what he created. It also says in Genesis 1:27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So since we're creators, since God created us in his image, this also lets us know that we are co-creators. This makes us the co-creators of all that is before us, all that we see, all that's in our life. He spoke into existence life. We speak into existence life. 2 Timothy says the power of life and death lies in the tongue. And so if we speak, when we speak, it is our thoughts that are manifested through our words. The faith of who we are and what we believe, comes to pass by and through our words. So if our tongues, our thoughts, and our faith are the tools that we use to create and to co-create, how are they guided? Where do we receive instructions on how we think, speak, and whom we trust? What I wanted to also stress is that nothing that you've refused to accept can be brought into awareness in or of itself, and it's not and it becomes dangerous to you. But if you believe that it is, if you believe that something is dangerous to you, it actually becomes dangerous to you. I wanted to start with the world, how it appears to be, and the world appears to offer us what our eyes show us and gives us pleasure. Our eyes show us that in the present of the things that we want. In the present, we see the things that we want and what we want, how we want it. But our eyes do not show us what's ahead of this desire that we have, whether it's a month ahead of time or a year ahead of time. Our minds do guide us, however, to plan. We're driven by carnal desires. So what we want and what we feel, we rightfully feel that we deserve. And this is how and what we seek to pursue. Our thoughts are a product of our environment, as our perception and understanding. We're taught through our parents or by the lack of parenting. We're told and taught in our learning years. We believe whether we're taught in love or in pain, whether it was kindly given through nurturing instruction or whether it was given through vile, angry, belligerent, or a dysfunctional behavior. This has taught us who we are. This has taught us how to think. This has taught us how to behave, what to achieve, what not to achieve, who to trust, who not to trust, what to say, and what not to say. So we have learned, our ability of learning, we have learned through love or the lack of love. We have also learned through fear. Who taught us fear? Is it involuntary or is it voluntary? Fear is taught through our lives and through our life choices, but it is not from God. Fear is not from God, but fear comes from what we are taught, what we're taught through our life experiences, what we're taught through the fears of other people, what we're taught through our choices. This is what teaches, this is how we are taught to fear. So if our thoughts are a product of what we're taught and our learning is developed through our environmental process, our parents, our siblings, our peers, teachers, preachers, we tend to think the way they think. We speak the way they speak. We believe what they believe because this is what we're taught. So say you grew up in a Bible teaching, God-knowing environment. This is what you've grown to believe, trust, know, and speak. And it guides you in your understanding, and it also guides you in your perception. But also, every boy that you grew up with has also taught you, and you've grown to know, believe, trust, and speak. You believe what Boyd has taught you. You trust what Boyd has taught you. You speak what Boyd has taught you. and you know what Boyd has taught you. So Boyd has taught you, and through that process, you've learned to have fears. I want to just give a quick definition of what fear is, and then I want to share with you how it is that we cause our fears to manifest, because fear is something, like I said, it doesn't come from God. And fear, if you could just place this acronym in your mind, in quotations, what fear is and what it represents. The letters F-E-A-R. Think of false evidence appearing real. It's real to us. My fear is not your fear. Your fear is not my fear. But if it didn't come from God, where did it come from? Why was it created? And why does it cause us to be in bondage? And why does it paralyze us? So fear, most of you know what fear is, but just from a simple definition, it's the unpleasant feeling of anxiety, apprehension, or apprehension caused by the presence or anticipation of danger. Now, let me tell you also what fear is, because I said it's false evidence appearing real. So false evidence, since false evidence is unreal, they are illusions. They are real to us, but they're not actually real from the standpoint of being a fear for someone else. So a fear is, since it's an illusion is something with a deceptive appearance, something that deceives the senses or mind by appearing to exist when it doesn't exist, or to be one thing when it is in fact another. It's a false idea, it's a false conception or belief about something or somebody, and it is also considered a misinterpretation of an experience of our sensory perception. The word perception is an attitude or understanding based on what is observed through our thoughts. So like I said in 2 Timothy 1-7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." Fear paralyzes us. It creates a stagnant life. It keeps us from moving forward. It keeps us from growing. It keeps us immobile. It completely immobiles us. Fear is it's an individual. It is an individual entity that is formed based on our most powerful and most dominating thoughts. It's formed because whatever you fear, one thing is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whatever we fear will manifest. And a whole lot of people, we have no idea on how our fears manifest, but people, our minds are very powerful. Our thoughts are very, very powerful. What you think comes to life. What you speak comes to life. We speak whatever's in our mind, and this all comes to life. Fear is, when I say fear manifests, is able to manifest, it is able to manifest through the laws of the universe, through the laws that govern the universe. Let me just put it more specifically, through laws that govern the universe. Our fears are able to manifest through ether. I'm trying my best to keep it as simple as possible, but ether is the clear sky, the upper regions of air beyond the clouds, the upper regions of space, and the clear sky and the heavens. I found that the universe that surrounds the earth is energy. What we also need to understand is that we are energy. We are energy. Our thoughts are energy. Our feelings are energy. It will show you. You can understand how energy works when have you ever walked in a room and just know that you're in the wrong place? Just know that I don't belong here. Something's not right. Or have you ever been around a person and you just get a feeling that you can't really explain and it's hard to put in words, but there's something in you that you almost feel in your core, your gut feeling that tells you that this is not the environment that you need to be in. This is the energy that you're feeling from the energy that's around you. Because everything in the universe is energy. Energy exists everywhere, and when in motion, it creates energy in an energy field, allowing energy to be absorbed, conducted, and transmitted. We're all energy. Our bodies radiate energy. It absorbs and it conducts the frequency waves of energy through our senses, through our seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touching. All of our bodies are made of energy. Even though we appear to be solid, but it's magnified. We are cells, molecules, and atoms, all composed of energy. And the reason I'm putting emphasis on energy is because I want to let you know how our fears manifest through our focused and most dominating thoughts. Now, when I mentioned just a few moments before, the ether was the clear sky in the upper regions of the air beyond the clouds. The universe that surrounds the earth is energy, but ether is a form of universal power. The earth floats by ether, the same energy, and ether carries thought by which we move and have our being is a form of energy, moving in inconceivable high rates of vibration. This ether is also filled with a form of universal power, which adapts itself to the nature of thoughts that we hold in our minds, and it also influences us in natural ways to transmute our thoughts into the physical equivalent, and this is all through energy. This universal power makes no attempt to discriminate between destructive thoughts or constructive thoughts, and it translates into physical reality through whatever it is we're going through, whatever it is we most focus on, whether it be poverty or riches, whether it be good or bad. Like I said, the universe, it does not know how to decipher the difference, but whatever our most focused dominating thought is, whatever we hold in our minds, by which no other man is familiar, but we know what we hold in our minds, it creates a magnet. It creates a magnet along with the universe, in the universe, that attracts to us the forces, the people, the circumstances of life which harmonize with the nature of our dominating thoughts. So this is how I'm trying to stress how your fears manifest. Since it didn't come from God, do not hold on to your fears. A fear is something that you may not be able to release over time, you know, immediately, but over time, one day at a time, one step at a time. A fear is something that should be something that you know you need to release, because it will constantly and continually leave you in bondage. Okay, Tammy, I wanted to talk about the ego, but I'm going to let you come back and speak on some of what you want to share with the show, and then I'll go into the ego and how the ego is where our fears manifest from, and I want to explain to you the details of the ego and how our character is developed through it.
Okay, thank you, Tika. I want to focus a little bit, because of course there is some times when fear is needed, and that inner feeling, that inner being that tells you sometimes when, you know, this is a situation, like you said, Tika, that I don't need to be in. But in going back to Erica's book, CEO to the Power of You, you know, one of the things I mentioned earlier is taking a look at your inner circle, the way people think, mm-hmm. and what they talk about that's in your circle. Well, take that a bit further. Learn, you have to also determine how you think as an individual, because the things that Tika was saying, we sometimes, the things we think about, they sometimes are illusions. You don't really, you base your life on, again, your childhood, things you've gone through in your childhood. Women, if you've been hurt before, then we, and men, I should not say just women, as people, if you've been really, really hurt, if you've given someone your all and you've been hurt, we sometimes have a fear of loving again. So it's when it takes control over your life, when you don't want to do something because it didn't work in the previous situation. I can't think of a better one than being in a relationship and being in love. So many times I think because the last one didn't work, then I'm going to be a little standoffish with the next one. And the next one very well may be the right one. Also taken from that, because whenever there's a breakdown in any situation, and again, I'm going to go back to being in a relationship, you know, there's no one person always wrong. So if you take that, take whatever happened, grow from it, and move forward fearlessly. I know I may not get this quite right, but it says love like you've never been hurt before. You know, dance like no one's watching and seeing like no one's listening. I think I have that right. Look at life that way. And I think in dealing with fear, of course, you know, if I walk outside and there's this huge dog in my yard, I'm going to have enough sense to be fearful and hopefully turn around to get back in or, and depending on what type of dog, you know, some people are animal lovers and may, you know, subject that to that. But whatever, there's a time for fear, to be fearful. But when it controls your life, when you don't want to, I think we had a caller on the show about fear, and I believe she did share her name. I believe it was Tarsha, so I feel okay with sharing that. She had a fear of failing, going back to school. She wanted to go back for her master's, and she felt like she could not do it. So when fear keeps you from doing something that will move you forward, you have to take a look at that. You have to really take a look at, okay, what is this fear for? You know, fear of success. We had people call in and say they were fear of becoming successful, fear of failure. Well, if you have a fear of failure, then how do you ever know? You won't ever try anything. So it's that type of fear that keeps us in bondage, that keeps you right where you are, that keeps you saying, again, this is the life that I have. This is what's been dealt to me. This is the hand that I've been dealt. I have to play it. Or I think not. I say you don't have to play it. There's too many cards in that deck. You know, put it back, reshuffle, pick it up, let's move on, let's go. And so I think, again, which is why I think one of the best shows that we've had this year is the CEO to the Power of You, because it talks about even fear, about how we are controlled by everything and everybody. But when once you find out who you are, like I said, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you face, and not leaving out God in no way, because that's the key. Once you are there and you have that relationship with God, life is fearless. It really is fearless. And in those times where you feel like, you know, I'm stumbling a little bit, God picks you up. God's word says that I can do all things through Christ Jesus. So when you start to see yourself as God created you, and you start to know, because God knows who we are. It's we try to hide, and we're going to talk about people of the lie as well. But these are the things, and that's why I say, again, Tika and I get nothing from Erica's book, but if you guys did not listen to that show and you want your life to change, if you really want to find out, you know, why am I not moving? Why do I not feel like I am moving forward? You know, I am 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, whatever it is. We were not put here to be stagnant people, to just exist. We are not, God's people should not be just existing in this life. You know, we are created in his image, as Tika said. We should be, we had Tyrone Tony Reed with his book, Soldiers of Light. We should be that light in every situation. In every situation. So, you know, as you go, as we end 2011, think about the way you think, of course, the way people in your circle think, and what you are talking about with those people. Because sometimes we just need to move on. We just need to keep it moving. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, totally disconnect from people. But we've become such a people of, again, people of the lie. We don't want to tell people the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. And when you do try to tell them, you're taking a chance of losing a friend. Well, I think Erica's book says a friend stabs you in the front and not in the back. That means if I see you as my friend and I see that there is something in your life that's keeping you where you are, it is my duty to tell you if I am your friend. She means by that, I stab you in the front. I'm telling you in your face, you know, you may need to take a look at this area in your life, rather than not telling you but going to tell the other friend or something like that. So that's what she means, a friend stabs you in the front. But as friends who stab you in the front, you must be willing to listen, because we can learn from, Tika and I talked about that today, we can learn from anybody. You can sit down and learn from a drugged out person. I mean, really, anyone can bring you a message. You just have to be willing to listen and take what part from that is for you. So with much emphasis on Erica's book, please, you guys, again, we get nothing for that. But I think if we start to look at our lives as we look at going to work and making a life or making someone else's dream come true, I'm not saying there's anything with the 9-to-5. I do it. But there's a passion and there's a purpose in everyone. I think that out of fear, you lose that momentum to go after it. And so, again, as the year ends and we come to a close of 2011, start thinking, how am I thinking? How have I been taught to think? Have I been taught to live out of fear? Have I been taught not to take chances? Have I been taught not to trust God in finding out who I am and what purpose he created me for? Not who I was, not where I came from, not the community I grew up in, not the clothes that I have on. Who am I inside? What motivates me? What drives me? What gives me that courage to persevere, you know, through it all? When we start to think about those things and also look around in our circle, life changes. Sometimes you don't have to tell people that it's time for you to get out of my circle. Your change will move them from your circle because people don't want to change. They don't want to do the work that it takes to change. And life is forever changing. We talked about and we asked several people to move the trash can, and we had several people do it, but one I remember more than the others. And they moved their trash can closer to where, you know, they literally start passing the garbage can going to where it used to be. And so keep that in mind. That means your mind can be programmed. So what do we have to do? We have to think differently. We have to start to really sit and think. Define success for you. The book talks about that. Define what is success to you. So many of us, we're going after some success based on what someone else says success is. Well, becoming, you know, this CEO, I guess, to this huge company may not be success for you. You may be okay with being the best teacher ever. I remember reading that in a book where, you know, kids are being forced to go to do this and do that because this is what mom wants you to be, this great, fantastic lawyer, because it's fame and it's status and it's all this, where the person just really wanted to motivate some young kids, really just wanted to teach kids. No, it doesn't pay a lot, but when you get to your passion and your purpose, happiness means more than dollars. There's a lot of miserable people that's making a lot of money. So money doesn't change things. We talked about that, Tika, as well, on one show where, and it might have been this one, where look at all the stars. They can't keep husbands. They can't keep wives. They can't keep relationships. They can go anywhere they want at any time, buy whatever they want, have money galore, but are miserable. One after another, they are miserable. So if money would do it, if looks could do it, boy, there's a lot of, for women, I speak for women, there's a lot of women that should be the most happiest people in the world. Halle Berry is one of my favorite. I think she's a pretty lady, and I just cannot see why she cannot get someone and keep them, because I think more so probably because she needs to deal with Halle. She needs to deal with some childhood stuff. I don't know that, but I'm saying, you know, if we use them as examples, we might say, wow, well, what am I chasing after? We talked about chasing the wind. So start to look at life differently and not be so fearful of whatever it is you're fearful of. Start thinking about who strengthens you. Again, God. And we can't say enough about finding out who you are. And in doing that, you know, Erica gave, and Tika and I don't know about Tika, but I know she talked about the Strength Finders test. Do you remember that, Tika?
Mm-hmm.
I've not taken that test. I did give a test to my friends about myself saying, who, you know, rate me on these things. And they gave them back to me. And I really took heed to that. I read them and I saw the numbers. And Some of them were high and some of them were low. And it's amazing how your friends see you. So for those of you, I challenge you, get your inner circle, get your friends to do it together. Have a girls' night out, men, I don't know what you guys call your nights out, but have a night out and start to learn. Because the one reason she put emphasis on that, because say, for instance, if Tika, if I need help with something, and I know Tika is, I think, an encourager, so maybe a bad example to use, but let's say if I need someone to encourage me, then Tika is an encourager, but my other friend, she's one said, I don't have time for this, pick it up, let's go. I don't need to call that friend because right now I need a different type of motivating. So the book talks about also knowing who they are, knowing who you have in your circle as to what they have to offer you so that when you are there, you know who to call. Because there's some things if I need that I know, Tika would cry with me all day. We'd just be crying all day long. So I don't need to call Tika if I need somebody to say, okay, suck it up, Tammy, let it go, pick it up, let's get moving. And that's kind of what that test is about. So it's the Strength Finders, I don't want to misquote that, but it's the Strength Finders test, and it's by Tom Rath, R-A-T-H. And I challenge you, especially if we have young women listening tonight, you know, start spending your time more productively as well. I don't want to say anything about Facebook, but I'm going to say it. You know, start trying to spend time more productively and start doing things like that. Start knowing who's in your circle and what they have to offer. Because sometimes you may find that you're the one giving, and you're never refueling your emotions. You know, you can give out on emotions as well. You can give too much and never, kind of like preachers, they say, you know, you get up there and preach. Well, you need to go sometimes in prayer as well. You need to go before the Lord and be fueled as well. So lots more to say about Erica and then, of course, People of the Lie as well. But, you know, Tika, you wanted to talk about the ego, which I think plays into all of this as well. Yeah. Is that ego keeps you from... Oh, wow, so many things, because it ties into People of the Lie, it ties into fear, it ties into not wanting people to really see, it's like it's what you want them to see you as, not who you really are. And people, if you can get out of your mind of not caring what people think of you, of what they say about you, that's freeing in itself, because I don't have time. I'm so busy trying to fix myself and deal with Tammy and my issues, those things that I bought from childhood, those things that I created in my own life, I really don't have time to figure out what, hopefully, I hope you don't need anything from me, but if you, at this point in my life, but if you do, then I want to know exactly, I want you to know what it is you need. Well, if you don't know who you are, then we're just killing time. So I really don't have time to try to figure out for you when I can't figure my own stuff out, when I could be up today and tonight down. I have to work on getting through that. I told you guys, I mean, there are plenty of days I have to say, Tammy, I'm just not going there with you today. Go alone. I'm not tripping today. I'm moving forward. You stay there, and when you want to catch up with me, come on. But start thinking on those terms. And Tika's going to talk about ego, right, Tika?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I want to introduce some what the ego is. And I know a lot of us, we may hear the ego, and we may think that our ego is the thing that we need to, you know, the ego is broken. Well, let me just first break it down. That to know and understand the ego, it will help you and aid you in the vicissitudes of life. You have to be able to understand what you're dealing with. You have to be able to understand yourself. And you have to be able to better equip yourself with the knowledge of how to productively move forward in life. So to know the ego and to know that it's just not, it's just my feelings and I'll deal with that, or it drives everything in you. It is your inner voice. But when you really realize the breakdown of the ego, what I'm about to do, it will also give you a better understanding of why I think this way or why don't I think this way. Now, the ego is defined and is broken in three parts. It's the structure of personality, and this is conceptualized through Freud. And it is the structure of the human personality in terms of three interrelated systems, and those systems are called the id, the ego, and the superego. Meaning, respectively, it is the I, the it, and the over-I. These three systems are more or less in a continuous conflict with each other, with which all human beings must successfully cope with if they plan to ever be able to adapt to the world that we live in. And I'm going to tell you the definition of the three. The id, which is the first, is the most primitive and developmental of the first component of personality. It is driven by powerful biological needs necessary to the physical universe, universal survival of this individual. It is not constrained by customs, morality, values, conventions, or ethics. But on the contrary, it's impulsively and reflexively seeks immediate gratification. According to Freud, the id operates purely on the basis of the pleasure principle in its most unconstrained manifestation. And what the pleasure principle is it is just seeking immediate gratification of all needs, all wants, all urges. In other words, the pleasure principle strives to fulfill our most basic and primitive urges, including hunger, thirst, anger, sex. And it feeds off of all of these things, and it is driven by all of these things. And out of anxiety or tension, when it doesn't receive what it wants, this is how it reacts and this is how it responds. The ego is the I or the me in the personality. It is the counter of, or it counteracts the organization and integration of our personality. The ego must adapt to the demands of reality. The ego is thus caught between the powerful forces of the must-have, and it's kind of like the administrator or the executive in this personality, in the way our mind goes with the personality. It can't ignore the demands of the world or the social intentions, and it seems to be caught between the powerful forces of the superego and just the id, and it learns to appropriate, compromise, and substitute and delay. But it goes without saying that the ego must be strong and durable in order to withstand the severe and continuous conflict imposed by the contradictory demands of the id and society. And the ego operates based on the reality principle. And the reality principle weighs the cost and benefits of an action before deciding to act upon it or abandon such impulses. In many cases, the id's impulses can be satisfied through a process of delayed gratification, and the ego will eventually allow the behavior to take place, but only in the appropriate time or place. And then the ego also discharges tension created by unmet impulses through a secondary process, which the ego tries to find an object in the real world that matches the mental image created by the id's primary process. And the last of this personality breakup of three is the superego. The superego is the aspect of the personality which holds all of our internalized moral standards and ideals that we acquire through both parents and our society. It's our sense of right and wrong. The superego provides the guidelines for making judgments. And according to Freud, the superego begins to emerge at usually around the age of 5. It acts to perfect and civilize our behavior. It works to suppress all unacceptable urges of the id and struggles to make the ego act upon idealistic standards rather than upon realistic principles. So with all of this just being in the ego, how do you or how do I manage the conflicts of our personality developed through our upbringing, developed through our community, and developed through our desires? It's not a time when we'll just wake up and just have a eureka moment of enlightenment. Usually this is not something that would happen. If we are torn between what society has taught us, what we have learned, and what we desire, what we want, there has to be a healthy balance in this inner man that is broken in threes. And in order to know and reach and seek for something stronger, to me, my personal thing has been just reaching for God, because to know that you have this tug of war going on the inside, you're going to act out of what your carnal desires tell you. This is what I want, this is what I want, this is what I want. But when you learn that delayed gratification doesn't mean denial, but delayed gratification is just you putting into the right and proper perspective of what I need, what I want, what I deserve, what's mine, and it just helps you to really truly break down in the right perspective. One thing that I've also realized is that my personality was formed, you know, if your personality was formed out of love, well, I'm not just speaking of myself, but for most people, if your personality was formed out of love or the lack thereof, who taught it to you? Who taught you love? You know, who taught you love? Who taught you to care? Who taught you to nurture? Who taught you how to be positive? And on the other end of the spectrum, who taught you lack? Who taught you survival skills? Who taught you discord? Who taught you negativity? Who taught you fear? How do you manage your personality? How do you manage your behavior? How do you manage your thoughts? And how do you manage your tongue? Because like I stated early in the show, the power of life and death lies in our tongue. Our personality determines our behavior. Our behavior is driven by our thoughts. Our thoughts are being spoken by our tongue. And our tongues co-create and manifest our futures. And so when you learn how the ego is driven and how it is our behavior, it is our personality, it is our thoughts, and it is our words. When you learn to pull all this in the proper perspective, or when you just receive the knowledge of it, it will help you to, like I said, better take steps, the more constructive steps, the more knowledgeable steps, the more clear, comprehensive, and understanding steps in the vicissitudes of life. One thing I also wanted to be able to say is that with our connection to the universe, with our energy and how we're connected to the universe, this is not something that I just pulled out of my hat, meaning being connected to the universe. When I was reading, I have a one-year Bible, and in my reading, I read the New Living Translation, the NLT Bible, but in my reading and during my reading, when I was reading the scriptures and the story of Job in the area of Job 31 through 33, it's when, after Job had lost everything and he was professing his righteousness to God, asking God, show me what I've done wrong. I don't understand. And he just wanted to know. When God came back to Job, God began to ask Job, can you direct the movement of the stars, binding the clusters of Pleiades or loosening the cords of Orion? Can you direct the sequence of the seasons or guide the bear with her cubs across the heavens? And then when I got to 33, it says, do you know the laws of the universe and can you use them to regulate the earth? I stopped at that point thinking, the laws of the universe? What laws of the universe? That placed in me, that was something placed in me to go and seek what the laws of the universe are, because if there are laws that guide the universe, I want to know what they are, because I want to be able to apply them to my life in order to live a whole more productive life and a life that's not broken by me, my circumstances, and my choices. When I looked up the laws of the universe, it gives them, and there are 12 laws of the universe, but there are also 4 spiritual laws of the universe. And so I'm bringing that in to the show as well, because you need to know, you need to be able to know how to live. The word is God has provided us with a word and with a manual, and part of the 4 spiritual laws, that is in the 4 spiritual laws, when you know what they are, it is a guideline. It provides guidance, it provides structure, it provides knowledge and understanding, because you know, God's word says his people perish from a lack of knowledge. The knowledge is right here. It's right before you, but we don't choose to pick it up and learn what it says. One thing that I also find in reading, when I was reading, let me find it. I have it here. It talks about knowing, we have to also know our enemy. You have to know laws of the universe. You have to know the spiritual laws of the universe, but we also need to be aware and know who our enemy is. And if God is your source and God is your creator, realistically, we have to know that Satan is not our friend. Satan is not our enemy. And he is a lot smarter than what you give him credit for, but he is the prince of the air. God has given us power over the prince of the air, but we don't choose to acknowledge or know what it is. When I was reading Colossians 1, chapters 1, verses 15 through 17, and I'm going to briefly read it just to give you an understand what it says. It says, Christ is supreme. Christ is a visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities of the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him, and he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. And when I read that, of course, you know, when I grew up, I learned of who God was and who Satan was, or the devil is what we called him at the time. But I realized I don't have a clear understanding of who he is. I just think that he's this devil, and he's this place that I don't want to go when it comes my time to go home. But when it says right here in the scripture, the things that we can see, God made the things we can see, but he also made the things we cannot see. There's things our eyes allow us to see on the earthbound realm. Our eyes do not allow us to see anything in the heavenly realm. But just because we can't see it, and just because we don't understand it, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means we have a lack of knowledge of it. But how do you know how to prepare yourself? How do you armor up, or how do you suit up and prepare yourself for what you don't know or understand? That's almost impossible, to be prepared for something that you cannot understand. So one thing we need to do is we need to know our enemy. I'm going to just go over a little bit of who he is, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Tammy, but I just want to be able to stress and get that out there, because we know Satan is real. Just we believe in God. We know he's real, but we know Satan is real. We know that he was a fallen angel that took a third of the angels out of heaven with God. And we know that he is the prince of the air. But like I said, he is not the prince of us. He is not. We have power over him, but our power over him does not come from ourselves. Our power over him comes from the living God. It comes from our source. It comes from our creator. We are co-creators, but it comes from our creator. We have to be able to pull strength from him. Our strength comes from him in order to fight this. So the kingdom of darkness is literal. It says it right here in Colossians, you know, the things we can't see, the thrones, the kingdoms, the rulers, and the authorities of the unseen world. So the kingdom of darkness is literal. It is a spiritual kingdom. Think of this kingdom of darkness as if you would any other earthly, terrestrial nation or country. However, the difference is that it lies in its essence. The kingdom of darkness, though literal, is not physical, but it is spiritual in nature. It was instituted by Satan, the lost and fallen angel, and a host of his fallen angels. The Bible tells us how his kingdom of darkness was created. Having seduced approximately a third of the angelic host, Satan proceeded to organize and foil the insurrection, and subsequently led to his expulsion from heaven. His satanic kingdom has a cosmological system. The word cosmology speaks of the dynamic arrangement of the universe and the world. God created the world in an ordinary fashion, but Satan created a perverted imitation of it. I mean, although this is illusory in nature, Satan has succeeded in creating a well-organized system of evil. And we see this evil through eight systems in the world and the environment and how we function today. We see it through our social system, which is cultural, entertainment, language, marriage, or family. We see it in our environment. We see it in our economical system, through our governmental system, educational, technological, and our religious system. These systems were originally designed by God to provide the optimal environment for all mankind, but they have now become the strongholds of demonic forces. We can witness the effects and the presence of the enemy in this world through our government, which is corrupt in several ways, approximately half of all marriages end in divorce, and we spoke that divorce was high up on our return of people visiting the show. And through the families that were once safe havens for children that are now plagued with domestic violence. God has given us authority and the power to expose Satan's tactics and to overcome his attack. So like I said, Satan rules the kingdom of darkness, but remember, he's the prince of the air. He is not the prince of the earth. But man has been given dominion over the earthly realm. This you can find in Genesis 1 and 28 and Psalms 115, 15 through 16. So like I said, we need to be able to know and recognize our enemy for who he is and what he is. And also, the kingdom of Satan is the kingdom of darkness. When we speak of the kingdom of darkness, we speak of any territory or any domain where there's an absence of God, a divine revelation, purpose, and destiny. It is spiritual blindness. It's another weapon of mass destruction. In short, this is an effective weapon because even when the truth is presented, the blinded cannot see unless there is divine intervention through salvation, healing, and deliverance. So does your life bring glory to God, or does your life bring glory to Satan? And on a daily basis, this is something that you can ask yourself, because the kingdom of darkness can be experienced by both the physical senses and the spiritual senses. From the experience of the kingdom of darkness that can be physical, I'm sure that you've seen or know someone or have family that have fallen to drug abuse, alcoholism, and despair. These are physical ills, but they also have the power to render a person spiritually bankrupt. And under this influence, the scripture wants us to stay away from these kingdoms of darkness and their activities. And this you can find in Colossians 2, 20 through 21, and 1 John 2 through 15. I also want to share just a few more things, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Tammy, that the word principality comes from the Greek word archimai, which literally is translated to the first in ranking order, and these principalities derive their power directly from Satan and are the highest ranking entities in Satan's army. The powers is the next in the chain of command, and the Greek word for the word power is exousia, and it speaks of a delegated authority. The spirits are usually very high ranking officers that specialize in the jurisdictions over 12, like I said, cosmological systems of the universe, and they rule the kingdom of darkness. They're responsible for keeping people in a state of darkness. And when I speak of darkness, I'm not merely speaking of an absence of light, but really the absence of God, because God is light and our divine inspiration. But they do affect our thoughts, our feelings, our perceptions, and a large host of humanity through mass media, music, movies, fashion, sports, philosophies, and religious ideologies. And you can find this in Colossians 1 and 13, Revelation 16 and 10, Jude 6 and 13. And these influences also seduce and falsely inspire our actions, our perceptions, our motivations, fantasies, imaginations, and appetite, and our appetites through overt and covert attacks. They influence the mind, and they affect the terrestrial and celestial domains. This is the battlefield of the mind. I know most of you have heard of Joyce Meyer's book, The Battlefield of the Mind, because in this, according to Daniel, and this is in Daniel 10 and 10 and 13, and then you can also find what I just previously spoke in Jeremiah 1 and 10, Luke 11, 16 through 26, and Romans 8, 14 through 23. This frustrates and prohibits the manifestation and answers to the prayers that we send up. When we're unaware of who we are, like I said, when we're unaware of who we are, who God is, and who Satan is, that leaves us walking through life just unknowing. We cannot walk through life not knowing who we are. We cannot walk through life not knowing who God is or knowing who our enemy is, because you're walking into the unknown. And you have to know, you have to strategically know who you are and who you're dealing with, but you also have to realize that you are a child of God. So like I said, we have power over Satan's dominion, but that's when you choose God over the world. The world has its own system, but if you walk and live and are moved by the world system, it will lead you seeking and chasing the wind, like some of our last show. You're just chasing one thing after another without ever getting real gratification, and that is the pleasure principle. That's just constantly seeking, constantly going after without ever having real gratification. When you get that better job, you get that better house, that bigger car, and it keeps going, and it keeps going, and it keeps going. And life is about more than just seeking the gratification of what our carnal desires are.
Thank you, Tika.
Okay, Tammy. You're welcome.
Okay, anybody, call us. You're out there. And, again, we want to hear from you. This is our last show, so we do want to hear from you. So if you have some questions, some comments, and, again, it does not have to be about anything that we are discussing tonight. Maybe you have something to share. Again, we want to hear from you about anything that we've discussed previously this season and anything about tonight as well. So the lines are open if you have a comment or a question. We're going to move. We've not touched on divorce, and I mentioned earlier, unless you all have something specific that you want to speak about divorce, I know we talked during the show that we did on divorce that, of course, the numbers are just skyrocketing as far as the number of people being divorced. I recently watched, I've taken a liking to the show Changers. I think it's Dr. Drew, and I saw where it's a young African-American that is now he's kind of like a relationship coach, so to speak, and he's now working his, I guess, dream job, so to speak, because he is now working to connect the African-American race in a different way. He's trying to connect us so that we stay together. You know, divorce rate is high, but His motivation for that was he was coaching. He was a coach for young boys, and he realized, he said, I went home and I told my wife, none of my children, none of these kids that I'm coaching come from a two-parent home. And he felt that was really, really sad. And so he dug deeper. And this is one of those things you guys can take a lesson from. We can do more. There's something that each one of us can do. So as you start to prepare for the new year, don't think about self so much as well. Think, how can I give back? What do I have to offer? If it's nothing, again, we talked about some of the programs that we're going to be doing. It doesn't have to be part of the Butterfly Evolution. Start something in your church. Start something in your community. But this young man took it upon himself to try to find out, why are we disconnecting? And maybe sometimes, why are we even connecting? You know, sometimes you just need to say no and move on. You need to, that's part of knowing who you are as well. You know, I'm say this in the most loving way, but, you know, you can easily, once you get to a point when you find out, you know, who you are, you can kind of take a look around the people and, like, who are you? And why are you here? And how did you get here? You know, so to speak. So, he took it upon himself to say, what's going on in this world to where I have a team that none of them come from a two-parent home? So divorce speaks for itself. The topic divorce, it speaks for itself if we're looking at the numbers. I think we need to start thinking about what is a marriage, because I think we go into marriage with this false illusion that it's this picket white fence, this beautiful home that's always up to par, everything runs like a machine, it's perfect, you're going to always agree with me, I'm going to always agree with you, we're going to just be happy, happy, happy. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. So I think if we start to look at, of course, number one, knowing who we are. And again, we don't leave God out of anything. But you have to know who you are. You have to love yourself. And one of our callers said, you can't look for your mate, male or female, you know, to provide you with every need that you have, every emotional need that you have. Some things you just need to fix yourself. Sometimes you just need to grow up and get over it and move on. So rather than focus on divorce tonight, rather, again, unless you have questions or comments, we have our documents from that show, and we'll be glad to go over anything with you or talk about any part of divorce as you like. But I'm really just kind of sick of hearing about divorce. Every time I turn around, either it's a friend or a family member, again. And a divorce affects the lives of our children, for sure. So rather than focus on divorce, again, take some of those things away. And if you have friends that are going through it, you know, ask them to determine what's missing from it. You know, what are they not giving to it? Because that's also important. Sometimes it's not always the other person. Sometimes you need to clean up around your door and go back in into that house and say, okay, how can I effectively affect my marriage? How can I bring some positiveness to it? So when you mention divorce, I just would like to leave it there, again, unless you all have some comments or questions that you want to go over tonight. So just think about it in that way. I do want to, and again, the lines are open, I do want to go to the topic of people of the lie, because I think for the most part we all have those people in our lives that are just not dealing with their own stuff. And that takes motivation, it takes determination, it takes sacrifice, it takes a willingness. Again, we keep going back to knowing who you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and being honest to yourself about who you are, the things you're going through, you know, your past, your present, and then what do you want for your future, and how do you get there? Number of things that we talked about tonight, the way you think, the way the people in your circle think, what they talk about. Determine. Erica mentioned that she went without cable. She turned her cable off in order to do the things that she needed to do, and that was Erica Murray who wrote the book CEO to the Power of You. Now, there may be some things that you need to let go of, release, move on from in order to progress and move forward in your life. I think we've just got too complacent in where we are and feeling like that change cannot be made. You know, it's not that change can be made, because the world is changing every day. People are changing every day. So it's not that. It's just that most of us don't want to take the time to do so. We don't want to take the time to determine, you know, what's going on in my life. And people of the lie, basically, people of the lie is determined as, and I hate to use that word because, you know, it's a huge word when you put it on people, saying, you know, they basically look at these people as being evil. You know, they work so hard to go beyond to make people see them how they want to be seen. They want to be seen as these perfect people with no issues, nothing going on in their life. Somehow you can, it's a hard person to really get close to as well, because how can you? You really never know who they are. And they will do, at all costs, they will avoid having their self-esteem jeopardized. So it's more important to them how they look, really, than how they really are. So they'll go to any means necessary to look the part, to have you foresee them as, again, these perfect people. But they're really people who would have low self-esteem. They're really, really hurting inside, really want to change. But, again, I think ego comes into this in a huge way. Fear comes into this in a huge way as well. So those are what we call people of the lie. And rather than using evidence and their bad feelings to make some kind of correction, because they know the lie that they're living, they will go about trying to kind of exterminate the evidence, just trying to eliminate who they really are, because most of the time the people around them, they see it. And this is where they talk about the evil behavior coming in, because they will do this by any means necessary. Their goal is to preserve their self-esteem. No matter what, you're not going to make me feel bad or look bad. And that comes from pain. That comes from childhood pain. It comes from wanting to be this perfect person. And it comes from feeling denied of all the things that you thought or this person thought that they deserved. And so they put up this facade, so to speak. And one of the things, and you all may remember this for the repeat listeners, is they did a study with a group of people, and it was a military, people in the military that they did this study on, where they asked these people to take this test, and they were not allowed to talk amongst one another. But the test was, they were trying to figure out the connection with these people, what made them successful. So it was the most successful people on the base. It was people whose children were, you know, okay no matter what, the moves that they took. They were always okay. They seemed to just melt into any situation. And they asked these questions, but one of the questions were very unique because they all had the same answer. And basically it was they were the most important person to themselves. And they, it was nothing more important to them than themselves. And basically that just says, and some people think, well, that's not right, but you have to, if I don't love me, I can't love you because I'm looking for you to give me something that I don't have in my own feelings, you know. So it starts with you, and that's what that means. We were taught to always be the good person, say the right thing, do the good thing, but as we mentioned, sometimes the right thing is not always what God has, let me rephrase that. The good thing is not always what God has told you to do. Sometimes we want to do what feels right. It doesn't mean God told you to do that. That may be a lesson that that person needs to go through. But we get all caught up in emotions, and we pull people out of situations where they just need to simmer a little bit. So we're always looking to not cause, just not cause confusion, not say or do anything to make anybody feel this way. And, again, friends stab you in the front, not in the back. So that's kind of what people are a lot of the lie about. And so as you, and I'm sure we all know one or two people like that, but that's basically what people of the lie is. They do what at any means necessary. They will do what it takes to keep their self-esteem alive, no matter what. You're not going to make me feel inadequate, basically. So that's what People of the Lie was about. We're nearing down. So, again, the lines are open. We have about 8 minutes, and we want to give you some things to kind of take away for the end of the year. We will be back the first Monday in January, and I believe that's January 2nd. But take this time, if you're not a reader, you know, start thinking about maybe reading some books. I do believe that reading allows you to meet people and go places that you will never go, people that you will never meet, because it allows you to get, like Erica's book, it allows you, her book I think is one of the best books that I've read, and it's to the point where anybody, your high school son or daughter could read this book and take something from it. Matter of fact, I suggest that they do. And start reading. We have, don't forget about Tyrone, Tony Reed, with his book, Soldiers of Light Against Darkness, not released yet, but you can certainly go out there. He's still doing his pledge, trying to raise money for his book, but you could certainly go out there. And again, Tika and I do not have any, you know, connection with them as far as monetary value. We're just supporting some people who we support, basically. We support their cause, and can't say enough about either one of those people. So start thinking about reading. If it's not Erica's book, find a book. Read or take the Bible. Start reading a verse a day. Get to know who you are. Think about the way that you think. Think about the people in your circle. You know, remove the naysayers, and sometimes that's a hard thing to do, but you really have to do that if you want to move. It is never too late to move forward. I don't care if you're 50, 60 years old. It's never too late to move forward. And I think a lot of us are just getting up, going every day, going through the motion. And that's not the way that God intended us to live. It's a miserable place to be. I've been there, done that. It is not a great place to be. We should be getting up, living life to the fullest. Particularly emotionally, people should see God's grace and mercy in our lives. People should see the peace of God in our lives. And so in doing that, you have to really look at your circle. You have to really look at yourself. In order to know if your circle is beneficial to you, you have to know you. You have to know what success means to you. You have to know, are you in control of your life? Or are you going back to where your garbage can used to be? Are you going back to where your stuff is rather than leaving that stuff there and moving forward? So don't let 2012 just be another year where it's about I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Get in a place, first of all, with God. We can't say enough about that. Get in a place to you surrender to God. Here I am, all of me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Start from there. Start reading your word. Start getting on your knees. We've started at 4 o'clock every morning, and if anybody wants to join in, send us a message after the show. Call us after the show. I'll be glad. I'm sure most of you all have my number, but I'm going to give it out this time because we're going off the air for so long. But, you know, we have what we're calling the 4-8. I guess I've just kind of named it that, the 4 a.m. ministry. We get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and we pray. And there's only four of us right now, and we're on the phone together, and then we break off and we go, we get up out of our bed and get down on our knees and we pray. So that has been life-changing. This is our second week, and that has been life-changing for the first week. So make a change. It's not about your weight. It's not about the money that you have or don't have. It's about the peace within and about knowing who you are and knowing who you are in Christ. Can't say enough about that. So it has been a wonderful, wonderful year. Again, this is our 23rd show. We'll be back June 2nd. If any of you are interested in helping out with the 678 butterflies, that's in Georgia. We have the 901 butterflies that's here in Tennessee. Tika is going to be working to bring the butterflies in Texas, and I think that's 817 Texas or butterflies. And we do need volunteers. We especially need men because we want to do the same for the boys, but they will be evolution parts, so it'll be 901 evolution. So we have the life program, and that's for kids who have lost a parent or a guardian, whose parent or guardian is deceased. There's so much information out there that we've learned that are available to children whose parents are deceased. There's money available for kids to go to college. There's so many things. So, again, you guys, there's so much out there that we don't know about because we don't take the time to read, to ask questions, you know, go to the library, go volunteer, go do something. Put yourself around people who you want to find, someone that you look up to. You got to know what you love in order to go to the right place. And then go from there. But get off of Facebook. Get off of Twitter. I'm so sick of hearing, you know, I'm at El Portón. I really don't care. And I hope you guys don't either. But, you know, that's what this world has come to, where we have grown people saying, I'm at El Portón. I'm getting my hair done. Wow. So there's so much more. We have young girls who are losing by the wayside. We have young boys that can't say enough. We have divorce that's up to the numbers, so much so that this young man made a career so that he could try to find out, what can I do to keep kids from being a part of this? And there is going to be divorce for sure. But when you get to a point where you have a team and no one has from a two-parent home, that's a huge issue. So we can't say enough about that. Tika and I will continue to post some things, and we may even continue to send you messages as we send the reminders out weekly. So as we get closer, we'll start sharing some things with you. And again, we hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, a Merry Christmas, and New Year. Again, read. We want to hear when we come back how your life has changed, what New Year's resolutions you're making. We hope it's more than weight and things like that. We hope that they're life-changing resolutions and love God more and establish a relationship with God. So I want to give out the number 901-830-6088 is where you can reach me. Tika, you can reach me, and then I'll just forward you on to Tika. I'm not sure if Tika wants to give hers out. But, again, if you guys have any questions about anything about the show, please feel free to contact us. And we're on Facebook as well. Not a lot, but we're on there. Okay, so Tika, you want to go ahead and pray us?
Yes. I didn't get to touch on forgiveness, but just know that you have no idea of the deep peace and tremendous release that comes from being totally without judgment. So that is just what peace is. I want to thank and thank you for tuning in to another show. I pray that this show has provided vital nutrients to set you on your life course for a more purposeful journey. And if there's any part of the broadcast that you missed, please find the time to listen to the archive show. You'll be amazed at what you'll pick up the second time hearing. And like she said, Tammy gave you her number, but I'm going to leave you with, you can find me on Facebook and Tammy as well. And my phone number is 817-507-6071. Tammy and I will be more than happy to talk with you and walk with you towards your spiritual journey on enlightenment. And may God continue to bless and keep you until we meet with open ears. Good night.
Thank you all. Again, this has been a wonderful season. The shows are archived, as Tika said. You can get those on the Blog Talk Radio, /Butterfly Evolution. Again, my number, 901-830-6088. Thank you, and have a life-changing rest of 2011, and be ready for us January 2nd, and we will send out notifications. Thank you to everyone. Have a good rest of the year.
Good night.